Hey, everybody. I hope you're having a great day in your neck of the woods, whatever time this is. I know people watch from all over the world. I'm so excited today because we are going to really appreciate and learn a lot about having God's work energized within us. You know, the Apostle Paul said, listen, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works within you. And he didn't say, like, work out your salvation with joy. I mean, we might think that, or work out your salvation with anticipation. But there's something about appreciating God's work within us more that causes God to do more in our life. And we're going to have a great time with a great friend, Pastor Mike Ewalt from Hattiesburg, Mississippi today. Man, it's hot in Victoria, Texas, so pray for me. When I wake up, it's almost 80 degrees, and then it shoots to 90, and it's hitting 100 almost every day. So I don't know what's going on, but I was thinking about somebody who said they wanted to do a pulpit swap in the Significant Church Conference. I don't think it would be Gary Hart up in Montana or Matt Ward in Maine during this time of year, but South Texas is hot. But you know what? What a great day for the subject of our seminar today. Mike Ewalt is going to speak from experience. He's going to speak from a precious anointing from the Holy Spirit about God's grace for the grind. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders, you've seen me in all seasons. You've seen me when I was shouting on the mountaintop, and you've seen me whenever, you know, we were sober and we knew we needed God to do something. So I've really been looking forward to today. Pastor Mike, thank you so much, bro, for taking the time.
Awesome to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's just as hot here in Mississippi as it is in Texas. So I feel your pain, bro.
Yeah. Well, you and I have the hurricane text, right? We're praying back and forth as hurricanes come towards the coast sometime. But
amen.
Yeah. So, well, hey, Mike, would you take just a few minutes before I welcome our new members to Significant Church, our new brothers and sisters who God's making a part of a band of brothers and sisters that really care about pastors. Before we welcome them, would you just take a few minutes and talk to us about what we're going to share about today?
Yeah, God really kind of refined this last week in our Significant Church leaders meeting when Jim was talking through some of the things on his heart about the upcoming retreat and what was on his heart just to encourage pastors so strongly in what we do so well in Significant Church. And I'm grateful for that. It's been a blessing to me for years, just being connected and being a part. And the Lord just began to deal with my heart several months ago about the grace that is available to us. And one scripture in particular stood out to me when I read, when it was talking about Peter and the grace that he experienced from Jesus, not just in his restoration, but later Peter would write that we need to be faithful stewards of God's grace.
That's
in its
awesome.
Various forms. And what so encouraged me about it was that Peter and Paul, who experienced some of the greatness of God's grace in their life, didn't just limit it to God's unmerited favor. I hearkened back to my Bible college days, you know, for that definition. And God began to just expand it in such a wonderful way that grace is so much more than unmerited favor. It may be the lowest common denominator definition, but it's so much more than that. And Peter said specifically that God's grace takes on different forms. And he wasn't just talking about spiritual gifts being different forms of grace. All spiritual gifts are grace gifts. But he was talking about, and the way it hit me, was that God has distinct measures of grace for everything we walk through, especially in the grind of ministry or the grind of life. And during that season, I had a dear friend that I've known for 30-some years, and whose father was in a long-term illness and was at the end of his life. And I sympathized with him greatly, of course, and you feel helpless at times like that. And so I just asked the Holy Spirit, how can I pray for him effectively and his father and all that they're going through with the family dynamic? And I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, pray for dying grace.
Wow.
And I thought, I've never thought of grace that way, as dying grace.
You weren't Catholic.
But if God brings us saving grace, yeah, he'll give us dying grace as well from beginning to end.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, Mike, so we kind of had, it's called last rites for those people out there that were like me, that you didn't want to die without the priest coming, you know, but the theology wasn't all good, but I'm sorry, I just threw that in there, but
no, that's
great. Isn't it amazing how God gives you words? When I was preparing for this, I thought of a time I was on our trail below the house, which you've been to my house, you know those trails, I walk and pray. And I was praying for somebody, and the Lord brought up the scripture that Esau consoled himself as I prayed for them. I thought, wow, Lord, what are you trying to say? And, you know, what Esau consoled his heart with caused him to lose the blessing. What we console our hearts with causes us to be blessed beyond anything we'd ask, think, or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, if we learn what we're doing. And I can't wait to get into this. Of course, I've seen your outline, but I want to just encourage everybody that we call this our biweekly lunch appointment. You know, we don't live close enough to get together, but we can use technology and we can be as if we're all sitting around a big table having lunch together. And nobody has to wonder who's going to pay the bill, who's going to leave the tip. we can just bring our own food and gather our staff together. And we had our exchange at Faith Family Gonzales just 2 days ago. It was so much fun celebrating with Pastor Pam and Forrest. Just a great thing God is doing through that team in Gonzales, celebrating their new building. Forrest brought a powerful word about staying power at that exchange. Then we spent time and iron sharpened iron at the exchange. But when Rachel, who's the worship pastor and really the administrative person that leads a lot up there, talked, she was just talking about what these webinars mean to her team. And as she was doing that, it was just such a blessing because it's the vision the Lord gave us, really, there the Holy Spirit gave us, and that's to sharpen each other and not to let ourselves, you know, somehow get more dull. And a lot of times we see each other at a conference and we think, man, we'd like to get together more. Well, thank God we can get together more. And also just one more thing real quick, and then I'm going to welcome our new people. And that is some people have asked, hey, can I get the link afterwards to share it with friends? Sure. If you contact us, we'll get that link to you. You can share it with friends. And remember, they're also archived. So there's a lot of great content now that's on the website that's just absolutely free to any pastor. Well, real quick, I want to just welcome our new members to the Significant Church Network today. First of all, we have Pastor Sammy Baez from the Assembly of God of Center Mariches in Center Mariches, New York. We have Pastor David Byrie from Sanctuary Church of Christ International in Union, Kentucky. Pastor Jeff Faulk from Turning Point Church in Monticello, Kentucky. Pastor Martin Garcia from Amistad Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Greg Griffith from Willard Church of God in Willard, Ohio. Pastor Butch Hamad from Harvest Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. Pastor Charles Martin from Champions Church, War Acres, Oklahoma. Pastor John Mays from Living Truth Fellowship in Pleasant, Texas. Pastor Christian Niles from Rock City Mission in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Pastor Von Saunders from First Baptist Church of Bolingbrook in Illinois. Pastor Joshua Smith from Cross Connection Church in Dodge, Kansas. Pastor Matt Stahl from Passion Church, Akron, Ohio. Pastor Isaac Tilden from Divine Compassion Church of God in Niagara, Missouri. Pastor Julius Osango from Calvary Covenant Church in Kasia, Kenya. And Mike, we've been friends a long time. And you and I both know some of those towns that I read, nobody knows where they are.
Exactly.
And that's why God raised this whole thing up. But I want to say this. I've been reading a book, England Before and After Wesley. It's a seminary book about 150,000 words. Some of them so big, I got to get my dictionary and try to, you know, look them up and read them in context. But it's just back in print. It was printed in 1939. But I see that everybody sees the challenge that we have in our culture. And they think, you know, we've had a theological reformation. We've had a spiritual reformation with people understanding gifts of the Spirit and all that. But we're losing our culture. And this book starts by talking about how the Reformation happened before Wesley with Luther and Calvin and those guys, and they brought scriptural truth. But Wesley's Reformation was much more social, and it was about learning what it meant to really love God with all of your heart and learning to love your fellow man with all your heart. It's why slavery was stopped and prisons were reformed and all the great things that happened in that movement. And Wesley had a saying. He said, man, I'd rather have 100 men. If you give me 100 men who fear nothing but God and hate nothing but sin. And I can't quote the whole thing, but he said, man, I can shake the world if just give me 100 men. And I thought about that quote, that sometimes we think, man, if I really preached a good sermon, God would do so much. But I'm excited about Significant Church, because what we really need are thousands of fathers, thousands of brothers, thousands of people who say we're going to live holy lives and we're going to be the family that people need in this hour. And I believe God's going to do something great. And, you know, I just want to thank every pastor who's out there, because if you weren't in the fight right now, I wouldn't be encouraged. I don't think anybody could preach a good enough sermon to bring this culture back to God. But I believe the Christians all across this land can live in the grace of God. And I believe God can pull this country back because we're doing that. Amen. Well, Mike, it all starts with the grace of God. And I love your outline. Go ahead and start taking us through it.
Amen. I want to just add my welcome. Excited to have all these new member churches joining us. And we just want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you personally. And I know Jim's heart is to do the same. And so the Lord just spoke to me, particularly when I was walking through a personal health crisis this last year, and received a cancer diagnosis, had to be followed up with surgery, and want to just give a report that, praise God, I'm cancer-free. Yay. And cured, according to my doctor. But as I was walking through that, I realized that I needed grace to walk through that, several different aspects, not just the cancer itself, but that diagnosis really impacted me emotionally, and it was unexpected. And as I took that to the Lord in prayer and began to really work through some of those issues that come along with it, the Lord just kept repeating a phrase to me, I have grace for that. I have grace for that. And so every step of the way, I saw that during the surgery, during the after effects of that and the recovery process, at every time that I really hit a low point or wrestled with it emotionally or mentally, spiritual battle, that the Lord just kept repeating, I have grace for that. And so that's when he brought me back to Peter's word in 1 Peter 4:10. That we need to be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so the Lord was just asking me if I would be faithful to steward the grace that he had for me every step of the way through this process. And I'm so grateful that he just revealed that truth to me, because it was so powerful to walk through it with my family and in my church, and personally as well. But it really is what you said before, Jim. It all comes back to God's grace. Starts there and ends there, and he empowers us all along the way.
Yeah, and you and I weren't church kids. So one of the things you started talking about is that it starts with saving grace, right?
Amen.
And Jeffrey and I, my son, were talking about that the other day, that in church we have to help people understand, and first the Lord had to help us understand, that we get excited sometimes because, you know, we feel the anointing in a song or we feel the anointing in something else. But whether it's 2 or 3, whether it's 10 or 20, when somebody raises that hand to give their life to the Lord, sometimes in our churches it becomes ho-hum, you know, this happens here every week. And the Holy Spirit just did something amazing. He just regenerated a heart. You and I don't have the power to regenerate a heart. But when somebody does that, you know, God just regenerated a heart. Or I think about, I just got a praise report from a new couple in the church that our kids went to camp. And they said, Pastor, I'm so grateful that my 2 sons are living with character I've never seen in their life up to this point. And people have been saved a long time. We can forget that the Apostle Peter said that we escape the corruption that's in this world through evil desires by participating in the divine nature of God. All the gifts of the Spirit aren't going to heal that home like Christian character in the heart of regenerated kids who started participating with the divine nature. So when I saw your outline, I just took a minute and I personally felt like I needed to say, God, sorry. I'm sorry that I've taken this grace sometimes. And maybe I'm celebrating decisions, but am I celebrating that grace and what just happened?
Amen. We do. It's the starting point, you know, saving grace. And it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's not the self-effort that gets us there. I was thinking this morning about the scripture from Titus that said the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live with self-control in this present age. And so grace is a teacher. It's not just a saving agent. It's the empowering presence of God to be with us, to empower us to be all he's called us to be, and to do all that he's called us to do. And we can't do it apart from God's presence. That's why I love that testimony about the kid that just came back from camp and what he did in his life. Our kids just came back from camp as well. And there's no substitute for being in God's presence like that, because we're so saturated with God's grace before we even understand what it is. And what a wonderful thing to be able to walk that out and see God's grace expressed to us in various ways and in various forms. And it's such an incredible, peace-giving, empowering thing to walk through in our lives.
Yeah. Well, in Wesley's day, you know, they in the Church of England, they called them dissenters because and Wesley's grandparents were dissenters, but his two parents kind of got turned off by the dissenters, and they went back to the Anglican Church, you know, so you had all kind of stuff going on. And then Wesley, I guess, was in his 30s whenever he said, I felt that warm sensation in my heart, and he got born again in his 30s, even though he'd studied for religion and all that all of his life. And I know for me that I want to celebrate regeneration. You nor I were church kids. You nor I were born again into our late teens. We heard about Jesus, but he didn't make our hearts new. So we know what exactly it was like to have our hearts made new and feel like, man, why do I have a desire to preach? I never had that before. I'm not going to tell anybody. They have enough to laugh about, so I'm not going to tell them. But God regenerated us. And then the second grace you talked about is we're saved by grace and we
serve by grace.
Yeah.
The scripture says in 1 Peter 4:10, I quoted earlier, that each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So there's serving grace beyond saving grace. It's what we walk in. I love the fact that the scripture tells us in the book of Acts how powerful it was when the church experienced not only the Holy Spirit, but the grace of God. And Acts chapter 4, I think it's verse 33, said that because there was such powerful grace or great grace was upon them all. And then the very next phrase says, and there were no needy persons among them.
Wow.
That it met practical needs in powerful ways as they serve with the grace of God that was greatly upon them, the measure of God's grace. What a powerful thing that is. And as I went through, I began to realize that every place that there's a lengthy description of spiritual gifts, from Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12, it all connects it back directly to grace, that the serving gifts, the empowering of God to give spiritual gifts to us to serve others, we need to be faithful stewards of those. But they all flow abundantly from the grace of God.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about sufficient grace, and we're going to talk about trusting God to do some things in really difficult seasons of your life before we get done. But you know, Mike, there's a difference between having theology and operating and serving grace. And
Amen.
The example I'll give is I was just about a high school senior, a month before my senior year in high school, and I gave my heart to Jesus and was born again. And, you know, I was the captain of the basketball and baseball teams, and a bunch of those guys, I could get them to go to church with me. But they would feel it. They would feel that the parents of the church were more concerned they were going to date their daughters than whether their hearts were going to be regenerated. And obviously there's reason for that. Some of those guys would say, well, if you were a parent, you would too, you know. But they could feel that. And, you know, to celebrate the fact that God's with us and he makes us new and there's an anointing to serve. I know today was going to be more about devotional in a way than it was about, you know, this new hot church growth thing or this new idea or even some kind of a technical wisdom for the season that we're in. But honestly, isn't it interesting that whenever the disciples were behind closed door for fear of the Jews, that Jesus came in, he didn't give them some big, deep thing that they had to do. He didn't give them some complicated thing that was going to wear them out. He said, first of all, hey, guys, peace. Get out of fear. I'm with you. Then he showed them their hands and his hands in his side. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm going to have to send you. If you have more confidence, if you have more compassion, if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit better, you're going to see God do some great things. And I think the church might be there right now to some degree, that we're in a season where God is bringing us back to the fact that we have the answer to unregenerated hearts. We have the answer to the character issues that are destroying homes. We have the answer to the loneliness people are feeling in their hearts because everybody's so busy trying to make money and build bigger houses. And we have the answer as the church community. But we don't have the answer if we only preach theology. That's the truth. They have to feel a saving grace powerfully at work among us. And they have to feel the serving grace. They have to feel like when they show up to church, that they're the reason we exist. And man, that's hard sometimes. It's hard to get enough ushers in the building, and get enough greeters in the building and make everything the way we want to. So this has such amazing, I mean, Jesus said, I want to change the world. And if in Ephesians 4, it says he fills up the world by giving grace to people as he apportions it, right? And he said,
Amen.
And I start by giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But he doesn't stop there. It's not a church show where everybody comes to watch the pastor.
It's to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, big team effort. You know, what you're talking about, many times our theology or our models of ministry or the things that we put into practice or embrace, they can become idols if we're not careful. And Jonah said, of all people, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
He might have been speaking from experience, right?
Yeah. I think sometimes we, you know, have to take a quick glance back at the Pharisees and realize, you know, the fulfillment of that. Grace was in their midst. And they couldn't receive it because they were clinging to the worthless idol of a law that they imposed on other people that they themselves couldn't keep. And I just think that God wants to free us as pastors and leaders, just as believers, to live out the grace of God and not try to fit in and be squeezed into a mold, certainly the culture around us, but even a church mold. Or something that is being imposed, rather than God just liberating you to be who he called you to be and do what he called you to do in the power of his presence operating in your life.
Yeah. You know, when I was reading your outline, and I just say this, is I just felt the Holy Spirit come in. And it was just a beautiful, fresh, I was so excited for today because it just reminded me that it really is all about grace. When I think about how he saved me, I mean, honestly, there's no question that the Holy Spirit was working in people's hearts to care about me and to minister to me. And then I didn't understand it, but I felt the guilt gone. I felt like a new person when I gave my life to the Lord. And then just how he's with us in all the stages of life. We're in a Wednesday night series called Hosting the Presence of the Holy Spirit in Our Hearts. And Wednesday night, I don't do the teaching. Other pastors do, but I always talk about 5 or 10 minutes somewhere in the service. And I was just talking about how every time that God has moved our ministry forward, it's because His grace brought a sufficiency that I was searching for every time. And even in terms of saving my mom, I didn't know what to do. Okay, you believe this traditional thought and you think born-again people are crazy, and no amount of arguing is going to change that. But the gifts of the Spirit captured her heart. They started manifesting. They started, you know, God started giving me words, and I'd call her from the mission field. She said, "How did you know that?" Well, Holy Spirit's with us. And, you know, God did what I could have never done because His grace is with us to save us, to help us serve with a freshness and with the understanding He's right beside us. And Mike, I'd love to hear some sufficiency stories from you, just times that the Holy Spirit was just so sufficient.
Well, certainly I can identify with what God said to Paul. You know, He was the one who told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And so many times we try to lean on our own strength and, you know, prop ourselves up and build ourselves up. And God said, "That's only polluting my grace that is totally sufficient for you and perfected in your weaknesses." And so I shared earlier about the battle of walking through this cancer diagnosis and surgery and recovery and all of that. But even thinking through, you know, the grind of ministry outside of that and times where we have conflict or experience the hurt or pain or disappointment, family life and just life in general. And where God speaks and says, "My grace is sufficient," was coming out of an aspect where Paul said that he was struggling mightily. And three times he prayed for the Lord to take away what he said was a messenger of Satan, a demonic spirit sent to work against him. And it became like a thorn in his flesh. And even though he pleaded with God to take it away, God just reassured him that you have the all sufficiency of my grace operating with you. And that's a powerful word. It means more than effective and complete and powerful, able to bring to an end. And so the Lord was saying, "I've already given it to you. You just need to tap into it and walk in it." And like you talking earlier about grace bringing us back to that wonderful experience of our salvation, I think back over the years and know when we walked through miscarriages early in our marriage and God just reassured us, "My grace is sufficient for you," and brought us through that season. And we had three more children after that, perfectly healthy, perfectly fine. And, you know, we can either believe the report of the Lord and His word, lean into the sufficiency of His grace, or struggle with self-sufficiency, which is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at times as well, because we think we're a lot stronger than what we are. And instead, Paul said, "So I'm just going to boast in my weaknesses." If that perfects God's grace, and that's the place is His grace is sufficient and made perfect, then I'm not going to boast about my strengths. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses.
Yeah,
and I'm going to humble myself and just lean in to that grace that's already sufficient.
Yeah. You know, and that's what encourages us when we're together is Paul said, "I'm going to boast about my weakness." And what he was saying by that is he was going to say, "I want to convince people I couldn't have done this without the grace of God in my life." And so when someone asked me about our church, I always tell them that the starting point really was frustration. It was going from, you know, the church I served at with my father-in-law as a pastor and everything's great. And I come down here and I feel like I can't get a church mouse saved. Nobody's getting saved. Nothing's happening. And then remember in the words of Dr. Cho that if you'll get on your knees and you'll read the book of Acts over and over, at some point you'll feel the Holy Spirit take control of your church, and you'll know that Jesus didn't say, you build the church. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But when I tell people that, it encourages them, because they've had the Holy Spirit come into them in moments like that, and they realize this isn't, and honestly, we live in an entertainment culture that a lot is built with lights and personality and all that. But God said in Jeremiah, when they were losing the culture, God said that your prophets are ruling by their own personalities and you like it that way. But what's the end going to be? In other words, if our people in church love our preaching, love laughing at our jokes, love how insightful we are, but they don't love waking up every morning and spending time in the presence of God, they don't love holiness in their homes, we're not going to see anything change. But if God Amen. Can shift that, and if we can get them to fall in love with the grace of God. And Mike, this is another thing, as I was reading this book from Wesley that really came to me, is he had different small groups of people gathered in. One were called their classes. And classes weren't allowed to be bigger than 12 people. And the reason was you were to commit to behavioral change in those classes. So behavioral change means, no, I'm not watching Netflix till midnight anymore. I'm getting up to read my Bible. I'm not finding excuses not to go to church. I'm going to church. And then from classes, you went to bands. And bands were just 5 or 6 people. And in the bands, you went from outward behavioral change to inward motive change and emotion change. And what he was really teaching people to do is experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their everyday life. That you know, first you get beyond just outward habits, then you get beyond inner things that God has to deal with. And then I thought this was cool too. He had what he called penitent bands. And these were for people that were addicted to things, sexual addictions, drug addictions. And in that day, I didn't know this, but 1 out of 5 houses were selling cheap gin. That's how bad alcoholism was in the days of Wesley. But there was a transformation, and a transformation happened because somebody went from just being theological and they went to being grace-oriented. Let's love God. Let's not just know things up here. Let's let God's grace do stuff in our heart. And then people, hey, God's gifted me. God's given me grace to bring deliverance to our society. Let's work on this together. And it just motivates me because he is sufficient. And there's a dark cloud on this country. Christianity's eroding right now on a big scale. Yeah, you can have some churches that are growing and all that. But I want to see more than just some church growth because some people in a region find a church they like and they come to it. I want to see a spiritual awakening in our country. And I know the people watching this want to see that too. And we can, because his grace is sufficient. All we need is a move of the Holy Spirit. One place God said in the Old Testament, he said, I can lift the iniquity from this nation in a day. Think about that. I can lift it in one day. And I think God's putting hunger in people's hearts for that kind of movement.
Amen. You know, the scripture is really plain in saying, don't get weary in well-doing. And just because it says it that way doesn't mean that we always follow through with it. There is some weariness that comes, but the words sufficient, when God spoke to Paul and said, my grace is sufficient, the definition of that word in the Greek is to be possessed of unfailing strength to defend or ward off the enemy. So when God was saying, my grace is sufficient and it's made perfect in your weakness, or we could say your weariness, it's to be possessed by an unfailing strength.
Wow.
In our time of weakness and weariness, and to defend or ward off the enemy. And, you know, so many times the weariness comes from just the physical grind or the mental grind, the emotional toll that it takes on us to be involved in that level in people's lives, some of the things that we encounter. But other times it comes from, you know, just wrestling with the demonic and spiritual warfare and not getting weird with it, but the reality of what it takes to walk through things spiritually. But yet God is already unfailing strength in our life that can possess us in a positive sense through his presence and the Holy Spirit, and apportioned it out in our life so that we don't get weary, that we tap into that unfailing strength that is there in the fullness of our lives.
Yeah.
And I just really felt my heart swell and spent some time praying as God began to reveal that to me, and thought about all the pastors that are struggling, all the pastors that are secretly wanting to quit, all of them that are wrestling with issues in their life, with kids or their marriage or pressures financially, whatever it might be. And then you complicate it by all the stuff that we're walking through globally or as a nation, and the you know, inflation numbers that we're facing, and all of those things, that God wants to possess us with an unfailing strength and give us superpowers through his grace and his gifts to operate and minister in a different level, in a different way. Just like you described before, as people being drawn to the grace that's in our life and seeing that we're living like people possessed, not of the demonic, but of the grace and the love and the power of God.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I felt like the Lord put this in my heart the other day in prayer. And John Nuzzo, of course, has talked about how God spoke to him that attractional church was of God, but it's kind of had its time, and God wants us to keep moving with him. But I kind of felt, I know God put this in my heart, that the only thing that's going to get us through this is the true apostles' teaching. Now, before people get all lost in that term apostle, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about clear truth that cuts through all this craziness. We need an anointing to speak clearly to people, to where they sit in the pew and they say, that's our answer. And I can't do that. I'm not that gifted. I'm not that intelligent. I need God to help me in my prayer closet. And then the other thing is the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread, which means that everybody was listening to their pastor, listening for the Holy Spirit through their pastor. Everybody was part of this fellowship where I'm not just wanting things from my church. I'm wanting things for everybody in my church. And then everybody was saying, and man, I'm keeping my relationship with God strong. When that happened, the church cut through the persecution of the first century. And they cut through the difficulty in Jerusalem. It wasn't easy. But when you were talking a minute ago, Paul said, in every city, I know bonds and afflictions await me. Wow, that's great. Not in every city, what do they call those people that travel with you? Those like the big celebrity guys. I know my entourage is going to be with me in every city. No, Paul said, I know persecution and affliction await me in every city. And then when he was in Jerusalem, you talk about the demonic stuff. I mean, people trying to kill him and, you know, making up stories. But I love where he says, but the Lord was at my right hand. He was at my right side. And Paul was so thrilled because he knew that with all that stuff the enemy was doing, God was going to get him to Rome. He was going to stand before world leaders. He knew he was called to send the epistles, and they're still blessing people today. And that's the right place to find our success right there. Our success is in hearing God's voice in the morning, knowing God's pleased with us when we go to bed at night. And, you know, some people out there, you think you're worn out because of the work. You think if it was a car that your tires are worn down. But can I tell you, sometimes it's not the tires, it's the fuel tank we got to work on. We just got to keep our heart filled with the grace that keeps carrying us places we couldn't go without God. So, Mike, we have this. I couldn't wait to hear you on this next one. We have saving, we have serving, we have sufficient. Talk to me about the next kind of grace that God spoke to you about.
Yeah, and then we have salty grace. That's my favorite too. Sometimes we need to get a little salty with it. I didn't start out to be cute putting together this outline. It just kind of fell in place like that, and I realized how they were all S words leading up to it. So I just went with it. Uh-huh. And that comes out of 2 Corinthians 4:6, where the scripture says, "Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And the salt is not so much of a seasoning in the sense that it has a distinct flavor of its own, but the power of salt is that it brings out the natural flavors in food by breaking down cell walls and being able to release the flavors that are within whatever that is. To me, salt is a game changer. You put it on popcorn, game changer.
Oh.
No salt on your popcorn, you might as well be eating styrofoam, right? A few years ago, I discovered salted caramel. I've always enjoyed caramel flavor, but salted caramel, game changer. And so I just likened it to that, to where he says, put some salt in your conversation and let it be seasoned with salt and full of grace. So salt becomes the seasoning for that, really releasing the flavors of grace that God wants to put in our life. But then I realized and connected it back in the Old Testament that salt was a means of covenant, and God required every offering to be seasoned with salt, or to be presented with salt. Even the anointed, the sacred anointing oil that the priests used, and the incense that they made to burn before the Lord, both had to have salt added to them. And it brought it back to that aspect of God making covenant with us, a covenant of salt with his people. And of course, Jesus saying, "You are the salt of the earth." And so that God's grace needs to be operating in our life in fullness, that we need to be full of God's grace, and every conversation that we have needs to be full of God's grace and seasoned with salt. And I think that is one more area that attracts people. It makes us thirsty. There's an element of that that enhances that conversation to be all that God intended for it to be when we walk in salty grace.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I actually took a note even as you were speaking. So if people wonder what I was doing on my phone, I wasn't doing bad. I was taking notes. But I mean, to think about the fact that salt releases the flavor.
Yeah.
How we need that in the church. We need all the flavor, all the grace released. And salt
now more than ever.
Yeah, now more than ever. But that salt releases the flavor. And sometimes in our life, you just think about it. Without the anointing, you don't even feel like you can release yourself. You don't know how to be who you're supposed to be. But when the anointing comes and God, you know, salts us, per se, Jesus said, have salt in yourself. It just releases Amen. Something that we could never release without the grace of God. And then to think that every single offering, God put salt in it, that, you know, God said, I'm trying to release something with this. I mean, that's really a powerful, powerful, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get past that, because that's one of the most powerful things I've heard, is just we need to have salt in ourselves. We don't need, you know, thank God for, you know, church tradition, and thank God for theology. I had tradition. I didn't have very good theology when I was a kid. But at least a tradition told me about Jesus. So whenever somebody was under an anointing to talk about him, I was drawn to him because at least I heard about him, you know. And
absolutely.
But to think about the church having a salt that brings forth the grace, that's powerful.
But you know, Jim, the powerful thing for me as I was studying about that and just praying about it was that the Lord just spoke to me and said, the highest level of conversation you will ever have is your conversation with God. And where the anointing oil and the incense that were made by the priest as forms of worship were both to have salt in them, The Lord brought me to Revelation, of course, that before the throne of God are golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And it just struck me that my conversation with God is to be full of grace that he's already given me, and to be seasoned with salt. That's something that I can add. And as I add my salt to it and present that offering before the Lord, that's the one of the a portion of that golden bowl of incense that's before his presence, rising before his throne and producing powerful results. And so it strengthened me in a devotional way, but in a powerful way, of what God wants from the highest level of conversation that we have, and that's our conversations with him, as well as with others about him, that bring praise and glory to his name.
Yeah. You know, we've all fought this last few years. People feel like we're not standing for God if we don't have a mask on. We're not standing for God if we do have a mask on. This political candidate is, we need to stand because he's Cyrus. Well, no, I think his emotion, it just gets so hard as a pastor sometimes to keep everybody together. But if we can just concentrate on being salted, and I remember I heard this story, Mike, it's about Carter Conlon. I don't know if you know him or not, but he pastored Times Square's church in New York City till just recently. He succeeded David Wilkerson. And he was a policeman before he was a pastor. And they hired this guy on the switchboard that only had 3 months to live, or 3 years to live. He had some kind of a disease in his body, didn't know Jesus. So Carter was a leader, but he wasn't the chief. And the chief let everybody know this guy had this condition. So everybody's just compassionate to him, nice to him. But he could tell something different about Carter. And one day he said to him, he said, Carter, he said, what's different about you? And Carter said, I had the opportunity to sit down with him and to lead him to the Lord Jesus. And I told him he should start going to church somewhere. And so he started going to church somewhere. A few months go by and this guy's just filled with joy one day. And now Carter says, hey, tell me why you have so much joy. And he says, Carter, he said, you wouldn't believe this. He said, but I went back to my secular doctor and he told me that I'm not going to just live 2.5 more years. I'm fine. I'm healed. And he said, I talked with the doctor and he said, again, he's secular, but he said, the doctor said, I have no explanation for this except for the fact that you forgave your dad, because he told the doctor how he was in church and the pastor preached on how we need to forgive others as Jesus forgave us. And we need to forgive like Jesus, not forgive if we think they deserve it. And he said, man, it was so hard because my dad abused me verbally, physically when I was a child and I hated him. And he said, but the doctor said, the only explanation I have is that you released something in your DNA that caused your body to end up receiving a healing. And when I heard that story that Carter shared from his own life, I thought, that's the kind of presence we need to heal this society. We can't think we're right about everything. We can't love without any truth in it. We need it to come together. Man, we got to carry the presence of God like never before. And I think if we're salted, we can. And I think we can see God release some things all across our country.
Absolutely. What a great word, Jim.
Well, I stole it from Carter, which is what Significant Church is all about, right?
What a great word, Carter.
Yeah. So we've got about 9 minutes left to kind of wrap this up, and I'll have you pray for pastors before we get done and church leaders. But Mike, so, you know, as we come to the end, I want to always live in the joy of the saving grace. I love going to Pittsburgh because I like looking at my little blue house, and I like remembering who I was before Jesus found me. And it's humbling, but it's, you know, to know that you can be that deeply loved by somebody who knows everything about you is pretty humbling. That kind of saving grace. And then he actually gives you a purpose. I mean, he asks you to serve. And then, you know, there's a sufficiency in that, that if we're worn out, maybe our answer isn't to read one more book. Maybe it's to make bigger room in our heart for God and make sure God's telling us what book to read next, you know. And pretty soon there's a salt and the flavor starts getting released out of us. Man, I just love this. And then you had one final one.
And this really kind of was a thought that the Lord solidified just last week in part of our conversation. And that's the last one here that I have for today is stay in grace. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was given a defense of his ministry and then kind of comes to this conclusion and said, I'm the least of all of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted God. And that was pretty intense, the persecution. That's a nice way of saying that he destroyed the church of God. But then he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. I love that.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He didn't just work harder and then got burnt out and quit. He said it was the grace of God that caused me to work harder than all of them. And he wasn't just working to live down his past. He was working powerfully and hard from the grace of God that was working in him. And you could just hear the appreciation and the gratitude in his heart for God's grace being poured out on his life. And if we're going to be in a place where we stay in ministry or stay at a local church or stay in the lane and in the place where God's called us, that we're going to have to lean into God's grace and see that God gives us grace to transition, but God also gives us grace to stay and grace to stay for the long haul and grace to understand people. It takes a different level of grace to walk with somebody for years than it does just to walk with somebody in a position or an assignment for a few weeks or months. And so the Lord just really put that on my heart heavily. And I just wanted to encourage all the pastors, especially today, that there's grace for you to stay in the place and the position that God has for you, grace to stay under circumstances that may be less than perfect, but that's what his grace does. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul was given a defense of his ministry, and he said, besides everything else, and that was after a list of bullet points of being beaten and shipwrecked and thrown out and flogged and, you know, hungry and naked and whatever. And he said, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?
Wow.
So Paul was talking about, you know, man, sometimes it's rough in ministry, just physically, you know, still working with missionaries who just getting to the villages to be able to minister is a task in itself. And not only do you have to be in shape and in strength and walk in altitude and whatever, but all of those things are almost secondary to Paul, the price that he paid for ministry. But he was talking about the mental toll, the emotional toll. Besides everything else, there's this pressure that I'm under in my concern for all the churches, not just the ones that he planted, but all the churches to rise to this level of what God had called them to be. And thank God that there's not only sending grace and serving grace, there's staying grace.
Boy, it's not always easy, is it? I mean, you've got to...
No, sir.
It takes God. I mean, Paul, he had to face a new battle in every city, but sometimes that seems easier than facing the same one in your church every week. It might be on Amen. Row three in the third seat over there. But anyway, it's you know, something that helped me years ago is I would put my kids' face on people just in my heart. And when somebody was being difficult, I'd just take my kid's face. And every time I dealt with them, I'd just look at their face as if it was the face of my child. And I'd say to myself, now, if that was my child right now, or if that was my brother, that was my sister, how would I want somebody to treat them? And when I did that, I'd really feel, you know, just the presence of God and the joy of God, and really did. It really helped me. Well, I know this blessed you guys. Man, I'm so grateful that Pastor Mike took the time to be with us. And I'm going to have him pray in just a minute. I want to let you know in 2 weeks, we'll have our lunchtime again. And we're going to have Don Duncan with us from Tree of Life in New Braunfels, Texas. And he's going to be talking about loving and leading our staff and volunteer teams. And I think sometimes, I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is something guys like Mike who know me well, they know I struggle with this, that I can be so missional. I was a mission director. And pretty soon I'm trying to get everybody on a mission with me. And Tamara says, Jim, everybody's just tired. Just slow down, you know, or because, man, we got to remember our people have been through COVID too. Our people are paying $80 for a tank of gas when they used to pay $40 for a tank of gas. Our people just saw the stock market go into a bear market. And it's so important that we can get God's work done while loving and leading and keeping the presence of the Lord strong in the organization while we're leading. You know, positive leadership does what driven and exasperating leadership never could. And I look forward to talking about that next week. But Mike, is there any closing thoughts you have before? And then if you'll pray for everybody.
Yeah, just as you were sharing, Jim, I think maybe we need to add one more form of grace to this. You're talking about Miss Tamara. Maybe we need to add spouse grace.
you and I both needed lots of that, yeah.
Excuse me. I look forward to, in 2 weeks, hearing from Pastor Don. I know he embodies that message, and so it's going to be a great encouragement. So just wanted to let you know as well how much I enjoyed being here today and just sharing my heart and something that God was working in me. I wanted to share with you and hope that it's been just a great encouragement to everybody that tuned in today.
Yeah, it sure was me. I can tell you that. I got blessed reading your outline, let alone hearing the words behind it. So thank you. I know that takes time. So thank you for taking time. And again, I feel like iron was sharpening iron. It was a great day. So would you pray for the guys, Mike, before we say goodbye today?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every one of these brothers that have joined together, the sisters and spouses bringing on board as well. And Lord, realizing the pressures that Paul spoke about that can come besides everything else. Lord, that it can be crazy trying to focus on the thing we need to focus on. So I'm so grateful for your grace toward us all. And Lord, we realize that in receiving your grace, we need to have grace for ourselves as well. Grace for our own mistakes and shortcomings and receive that all sufficiency from God. So, Father, I pray just tremendous encouragement into the heart of anyone who's discouraged or depressed or wrestling with where they are, a situation where they are. Lord, even as your grace was made so sufficient to me during this health battle, I pray for everybody who needs healing, who needs a breakthrough, who needs God to totally restore what he has called and created them to be. And Father, I pray hope into every situation that seems hopeless, and that your grace would be more than sufficient. Your grace would be more than just a point of salvation. God, I pray that it'd be an entry point into the privilege of serving, into the power of your sufficiency operating in our lives. And God, the essence of your salt being added to that grace to bring out all the flavors that it should be in our lives. And God, that you would establish and strengthen us and give us the grace to stay and to see everything that God promised fulfilled. Not one word would be lost and fall to the ground. Not one promise would be unfulfilled because of your grace toward us. We thank you for it, Lord, the God of all grace. And we just return thanks and praise to you. And I thank you for all of these that have joined us today and those that'll catch it later on a replay or repeat. God, I thank you for it and am so grateful to be a part of a group like Significant Church. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, guys, God's going to help you knock it out of the park this weekend and Father's Day. On Father's Day, so we're so excited. And man, know we're here, know we're praying for you. And thank you for being an amazing band of brothers that are bringing forth what God wants to bring forth through His grace. Love you guys.